This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it really even a series yet? Because I was told for the longest time, one of the great axioms in all of sports is that a series doesn't really begin till when, Kenny?
You go back to the other team's place. Right?
The road team wins.
Yeah. The road team wins.
Oh, that's it. Okay. Yep. So if we win tonight, then the series has begun?
Then it officially has
Now, what
commenced.
If we don't win?
Then it hasn't started yet.
Okay. So it's still, even though we're down 0-2 in the series, the series hasn't started
yet. It's not started yet. It's not even worth mentioning.
Well, let's just be down 1-0 in the series and hopefully make this a win tonight. I got to ask you a question. I'm not going to sit there and talk about it. Listen, you guys want to keep bringing up Jose Ramirez. We spoke about Jose Ramirez, and then they made us look bad, so I ain't going to ever do it again. I'm never talking about Jose Ramirez ever again, damn it. Ain't going to happen. Not in that light. Not like that. No, no. I'm not going to ask him for anything. Ain't going to happen. You want to do it? Fine. I do mean it. I think that there's so much pressure on him that we tend to take it out on Jose Ramirez because we know he's the one that we can count on. Or, excuse me, the one that we want to count on. I can't say we can right now, but he's the one that we have the most faith in. And if he doesn't do it, it's not like there's a faith multiplier around him that makes things easier for Guardians fans. So that puts an immense amount of pressure on him. I got to talk to you about Stephen Vogt. What made him a great manager might be a deficit to him in the postseason. He went young. He went aggressive. Every game was played like a postseason game. That's their words. Austin Hedges brought it up. He's a leader. But now you watch them and you think, well, they should be much better in the postseason. Yeah, but what about Vogt? Because it seems like every one of these moves in the Detroit series and in this series, with the exception of game one of the Detroit series, he didn't really have to do anything. It was a 5-0 first inning. But with every other move, he's a batter off here. He's a batter off there. You know, leaves Alex Cobb out there, shouldn't have left Alex Cobb out there, then leaves Joey Cantillo out there for a little bit longer. And it doesn't mean that don't freak out and start yelling, so you think he's bad. It's not that I think he's bad. He's not bad. He'll be the manager of the year. Now we've had Kevin Stefanski as the 2-time coach of the year, so I don't know how much that means to anybody anymore, but he'll be the manager of the year. But this is the slings and arrows that we have to deal with. Because of what? He is a rookie manager. And you're managing against A.J. Hinch, who has won a World Series. Yes, I know he's arrogant, but he has a lot of experience. And you're also managing against Aaron Boone, who frankly, personally, I can't stand. But has managed in a lot of big moments. And has had managed into the postseason. And has had to deal with a great amount of pressure. So there's more seasoning, more time to learn that stuff. And you think about the approach that they've had. Well, this aggressive approach that they've had, now they can't draw walks. Now they're swinging at everything. I mean, Josh Naylor has no plan whatsoever. And he's just the guy we highlight. There's plenty of guys up there that are just flailing away. John Kenzie Noel is flailing away. You've put guys in pinch hitting situations that I don't think have been the best for them. But you have a lot of guys that are taking hell hacks up there. You can't get guys on base to get anything manufactured. And you don't hit home runs to start it off anyway. So you're kind of playing right. You played into Detroit's hand, but you had the horses to beat him. You're playing into New York's hand. It's only been one game. You so far in one game played right into New York's hand. You don't have the horses to beat that team if you're going to do that. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and look, there are moves, and we've talked about this already. Like, and of course, when they don't work, it's easy, right? Like we've talked about this. Like the David Fry bunt looks like one of the spectacular managerial moves in a decade. In Cleveland, because yes. It worked. It worked. It was incredible. It worked. Well, pinch hitting Brennan for Fry, you know, that's not something I think most people were on board with. It didn't work. I'm trying to be as fair as humanly possible. Managers do have a gut feeling at times.
Like, it's not where I would go. Like, if we went into a postseason next year, which is now, I imagine it's expected, when you go into the postseason next year with no matter what happens here, you should have more faith in Stephen Vogt because he's had more time to think about what's happened. He's got more experience. He can go back to that experience, and he'll probably have a lot of the same players. And when you brought up the David Fry play, most of your players are better than what they have in Detroit anyway. So a better team should be able to beat them. You go to this level, you don't have the horses to beat them. Also, you know, Joey Cantillo, you don't have to throw the ball in the dirt. Bo Naylor, damn it, you know, you can make a stop. That thing has been, I don't know what's good. This is where you're still a team that is developmental in so many ways because Bo Naylor is still a developmental guy, and I think a lot of people are just done trying to develop him.
Do you think, though, that a little bit of that, because this is going to be hard for Vogt because he doesn't have the Yankees and the Yankees players, it has drilled into their head immediately when they put on the pinstripes, this isn't about the regular season. This is always about the playoffs and what you do in the playoffs. And so if you shrink in the moment in New York, they just don't use you. You're just not on the team. The Guardians, we don't have that luxury. So you're going to go to Cantillo yesterday, and you're going to try to ride that out, and it was a total disaster, and it lost him the game. And Cantillo admitted it after the game. You know, that was the issue. You just let that team off the hook. You gave them that buffer that they ended up using, and they kind of coasted from there. That is the tough thing for Vogt in all these moves, is because he has to look up and down that roster, and he's not seeing a lot of guys that have really been built for those moments or have had that experience. The guys that have, Naylor and Ramirez, have been coming up short.
216-474-0092. Zach in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Boys, it's a sultry Tuesday morning. But I have some...
It's cold outside. It's 43 degrees. It ain't sultry, Zach. Come on now.
Well, you know, I mean, you're kind of mad, so it's a little hot.
Damn it, I'm not mad. It's a game of the series, but well, Zach, it feels like this, know, to me. Doesn't it feel like the people are saying, guys, it's a 7-game series? Doesn't it feel like they're the ones who are more upset and they want us to talk them into it?
Yep, absolutely, guys. You see positives last night. Obviously, you said it right there, Tone. I mean, Cantillo gave up the game, and if Vogt doesn't make that move, he goes with one of the other hot hands that he ran through in Detroit just to get out of that inning even. And then he brings in Avila. We're fine. It's a completely different ball game. Maybe they don't even score that third run because it's a different ball game. We have a different pitcher in there, whatever the case might be. He just pulled the trigger too soon. He's liking the matchups too much in the playoffs. And I think that I'm kind of happy that this happened in game one because hopefully it teaches him a little bit of a lesson to stick with his gut and go with who he's gone with to win him games. You know, save Eli Morgan and Cantillo for, you know, burn up some innings when we're down 4 or 5 runs. Go with your four horsemen or whatever they call them when it's, you know, somewhat of a close game. I mean, it was tough to see. And then obviously you guys hit on the pinch hitting Brennan for David Fry. I definitely didn't agree with that. I was about ready to turn the TV off when I saw that because he likes the matchup. He likes it. He likes the righty versus lefty. And maybe that's what we liked a lot about Tito is he did stick with his guys, and he didn't really go with matchup as much as voters doing. But he's a rookie manager. He'll learn. Hopefully he'll adjust. That's why they play 7 guys. We got to win 4. They got to win 4 also. So
the math checks out, Zach. The math checks out, brother. Thank you very much for the call. Then we get to Daryl in Euclid. Go ahead.
How we doing, kid? I think what we saw last night, man. I think. The, you know, Brian Cashman from the Yankees, man, he shops at Neiman and Marcus. We shop at Walmart. You know, so when it came time for us to make a move, we don't go get the big names, man. If you look at that lineup, that's money. You know what I mean? You got Soto, Stanton, Judge, things like that. They look overmatched. The Yankees look like the big bad bully. And it seems like whenever it's time for the Dolans or there's a big name out there and it's a huge name, they kind of shy away from it. They never make that move, but they will go get it, Alex Cobb. Or, you know, and all props to my guy Lane. They will go get it, Lane Thomas, but you're just seeing a difference in organizational philosophy. The Yankees will pay to have the best team.
See, this needs to be dispelled, Daryl. And this is the problem with baseball in general. And this is why I hate losing to a team like this. Because remember, it's not just the Guardians playing the Yankees, and thank you very much for the call. They're in the final four teams of Major League Baseball right now where it's also the Dodgers and it's also the Mets who have the highest payroll in Major League Baseball, and it's also the Yankees who have historically had the highest payroll in Major League Baseball. So you have three teams that are spending nearly $1 billion combined against the Guardians, who are at, what, 106, 109, depending on the time of year when we look at the spot
track? That's the full. It's like 54 for the 26 on the playoff
roster. So that's about as low rent as you get. I'm going to tell you right now, Hal Steinbrenner is a vicious businessman who learned it from maybe the most vicious businessman. He is not spending himself into the poorhouse. They spend $300 million because they can make the money on those teams. That's why. Like, ownership is ownership. That's not a defense. There's definitely been times where they have pinched pennies. 100% agree. But damn it, like, they're in this to make the money. And Hal Steinbrenner has said it. He's already going to take some of this salary off. So they're like trying to make one more run here before they start to take some of this off, because he knows that there's probably a future in television that's not going to go very well for them. So they're going to chop that down, but they'll still be able to spend more because it's the Yankees. And that's what sucks about the situation. It's not just losing to them. Then you have to question your entire faith in the sport.